Let's bring in the man who's going to talk about the nor'easter that might possibly come our way. He'll talk about snow. Maybe we'll even talk a little bit about what's going on in Texas and other places. Good morning there, Pat Pagano.
And good morning to you, Marshall. And it's nor'easters, not nor'easter.
Okay, nor'easters. Okay, well, that's a little scary.
Which is complicating the forecast even more. It's only one storm right now. It's east of Brownsville in the Gulf of Mexico. And it's causing mixed precipitation in the southern plains and including places like Texas. And in fact, I was curious to see myself if Dallas was still having some really inclement weather right now. Okay, not getting anything there. I don't know why. But we'll continue to look at this. And this is going to play havoc right on up the East Coast, as everybody knows. It's been all over the news. We talked about it all week long. Right now, Dallas has freezing rain. And it's 21 degrees. So it is ice. Winter storm warning is in effect. And they're calling for ice and snow, 1 to 3 inches in Dallas. 21 degrees right now. In Houston right now, it is 37 degrees. So also pretty lousy. In New Orleans right now, it's 36 degrees. It's snowing in Missouri. It's snowing in Arkansas. It's snowing in northern Louisiana. And all of this is tied in with the storm. It's going to, piece of it will break off and sail into the area, let's say, just south and east of Long Island tomorrow. So we'll get snow. And will we get a wintry mix? It's possible tomorrow night into early Friday, but a second low will follow on Friday. But it appears right now that the first low will probably have the heaviest precipitation. So Thursday into Thursday night, the heaviest precipitation, and then Friday would just be light. When all is said and done, we're still thinking 6 to 10 inches across the listening area with the higher amounts to our south, not north, to our south. And then some sun, windy with flurry Saturday, 30 to 35. One other concern that I have right here is that I've seen the track of these lows going a little bit further south and east with each run of the computers. And, you know, if that trend were to continue, then we have to lower our snow amounts because the storm will be further south of us. So that would mean 6 to 10 would probably become more like 3 to 6. In any event, I didn't see any reason to deviate from an overall 6 to 10 right now. And again, folks, this time the 10 is going to be south and not north. So you get to the Berkshires, bordering on 6. You get down to the Southern Catskills, anywhere 8 to 10. And that should be the case north of I-84.
All right. So now, you know, I've been watching with interest what's going on in Texas, where because Texas normally doesn't have a weather event like this lasts this long with such bitter cold weather. Wind turbines have been freezing up, the electrical grid goes down, and people are talking about, oh, you can't have green energy and everything like that. Here's what people forget what Texas did about, I think it was 3 or 4 years ago. You know what Texas did? About 3 or 4 years ago, they deregulated their electrical grid, okay? It was under regulation. They privatized the electrical grid. And they removed interconnected networks. Why did they do that? To avoid federal regulations. And also, it increased the profits to some smaller, wealthy individuals who owned those properties. So you take the fact that they privatized the electric grid. They removed the interconnected networks so they don't have to meet federal regulations. And then all of a sudden comes this outbreak of cold and the grid totally collapses, just about totally collapses. You know, what are people going to learn, Pat, that we're in an age of extreme weather? When are they going to, I mean, how many times do we go over this? The weather, we have the normal weather that we normally get, but then we get, on a regular basis, extreme either cold outbreaks, extreme storms, extreme heat, extreme drought. When are people going to learn that, you know, it's not business as usual anymore when it comes to the weather.
Well, I mean, we've said over and over again that the extremes have now become the norm. You know, we see that over and over again, and that is the case. And, you know, again, someone said to me earlier this morning, this is just, you know, it really is terrible what's going on, and it really is. It's terrible. That, you know, and we talk about how, you know, all the negative effects, you know, people without heat, and it's rough. I mean, it's cold. Think about it. You know, they're not equipped with this kind of weather. So it's really, really rough for them. And I'm looking, I mean, it's 30 degrees in San Antonio this morning. Atlanta is 23. Jacksonville's 42. Memphis is 18. Columbus, Ohio, 8. Minneapolis, St. Paul, 6 below. International Falls, 26 below. So, I mean, and this weather goes all the way down to Texas, even in New Mexico. Albuquerque this morning is at 32. Phoenix is at 48. So, it's everywhere. But this may be God's way of saying, the weather, I'm going to make the weather real brutal so that people don't congregate and socialize as much, and we keep the COVID transmission down. Because obviously, the transmission rate across the United States right now is the lowest it's been since last November. And when you consider that back in January, we were talking 4,000 people were dying per day. So the weather has changed, I think, a lot of it. The vaccinations, of course, are going to change a lot of it. So this could all be the positive effects of this extreme weather. And now that there's variants flying all over the place, you know, this African thing, this could be another good thing, that people are not going out congregating and socializing. Now, the only thing we have to worry about, as you well know, is President's Day weekend, you know, and then upcoming the Easter holidays. But President's Day weekend would be the next one. And, you know, what can I say, Marshall? You're going to have states like Florida that, you know, with the spring break and all of this stuff, that's going to permit it and say, yeah, go ahead, you know? And they're not thinking about the rest of the country. They're only thinking about themselves. You know, this is a big tourist thing. You know, a lot of money, blah, 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 blah. Well, I don't know what you could do about it, but, you know, if it were me and I had kids in college, they wouldn't be going to Florida, that's for sure.
Well, you know, it's when I look at what's going on with the weather, I shake my head, because up here, we have an integrated grid system, but we do have a grid system that switches back and forth, and for the most part works. I mean, we had a couple of outages over the past 15 years. That one big outage where we lost power for 11 days, the entire state of Connecticut lost power for 2 days, and we have our occasional power outages which take 2, 3, 4, 5 days to get power back on with broken telephone poles and wires. But when you take a grid and you privatize it, and then you avoid federal regulations, and you remove your interconnected networks, you know, and you get a something like this where temperatures come down, where you're used to your low temperature being 45 to 50 degrees, and all of a sudden your low temperature is zero, and it snows and it sleets. You don't have plows. You don't have ways to get rid of it. I mean, whose fault is it when you look at it? Whose long-range thinking fault is it? Because we all know, yes, everybody's got a cell phone so we can capture things, but we all know that weather is more extreme. I mean, last summer here, we had tropical storm with winds up to 70 miles an hour. We had two tornadoes in our area. Now, we've experienced tropical storms before and a tornado or two, but not with the regularity that we're extreme. You know, so it's so obvious to me that people have got to stop and take a look and just say, hey, weather's more extreme right now, so we've got to do something to protect our populations. I just don't know when people are going to wake up to that fact. You know, we have the greatest power grids in the world, and the power, we take out coal because that's the worst, okay? But we've got natural gas, we've got oil, we've got solar, we've got wind, we've got hydro, we've got nuclear power. You can't tell me that all those combined, put into an efficient grid, can't prevent something from like this happening. You know, it's just, I feel for the people in Texas and people in Louisiana who the other day woke up to single digit numbers. I feel for them. But you know what? From now on, states are going to have to plan for this as being a possibility every year.
Yeah, and you know what happens. Somebody will do the research and say, this is a one in 1,000 year event. You know, and of course people hear that and say, well, you see, probably never going to happen for another 20 years, so we don't have to worry.
You're right, and it'll happen again. Like we said, all these little mini weather events, you know, thunderstorms are stronger, tropical depressions, it's all crazy.
But I think if I'm not mistaken, Marshall, I don't have all the details, but someone told me that there was actually a tornado with snow that they were calling a snownado in Texas a couple of days ago.
Well, I'm sure we're going to get a good science fiction movie out of that one.
I'm sure they will. I'm telling you, boy.
All right, Pat. So, well, we'll keep our eyes to the skies and our ears to the radio, and we'll listen to your forecast as we get through the next 24 to 36 hours.
Yes, and we'll keep you updated, Marshall. You have a good day.
You too, Pat. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Pat Pagano this morning at the Weather Center with a check on that tri-state forecast here on Robin Hood Radio.